This evening, we want to take a look at Psalm 17, and it's quite amazing as you take a portion of Scripture and study it and read it and reread it and study it and look at it, how it just comes alive. It just becomes rich and real to your heart. I got thinking about this Psalm when we brought our message Sunday from Revelation 22 about seeing the Lord face to face. And it reminded me of this psalm, verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness, or behold thy face in Christ our righteousness, and I shall be satisfied. I shall be satisfied when I awake from the grave, awake in regenerating grace, and awake in the resurrection morning in your likeness, in the likeness of our blessed Savior. Now we are, by God's grace, satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ and everything He is and everything He has done. We're satisfied. But you know, more importantly than that, you know what's more important than that? God is satisfied. God is satisfied with all that Christ has done for us. It says that in Isaiah 53. Or it says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him in our room and in our stead. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Satisfied. We are satisfied with the Lord. But more importantly, God Almighty is satisfied with what He has accomplished for us. He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. As for me, how about you? I'm satisfied. Satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now think about this. What a glorious future every believer does have right now. Right now. And to be with the Lord forever, to be like Him, to behold His face in perfection, in righteousness, to worship Him without distraction, without interruption, to love Him fully, to be completely removed from the power, penalty, and presence of sin. And we've never worshiped the Lord without being distracted by this sinful flesh, have we? To worship Him and to sing forever the song of the redeemed unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood. You remember from last week, in Psalm 16, verse 11, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy, fullness of life, fullness of salvation. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Satisfied forevermore in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's go back to verse 1. Hear the right, or hear the just one, O Lord. And attend to my cry, attend to my prayer. Give ear to my prayer that goeth forth not out of lips of hypocrisy, not out of feigned lips, but out of sincerity of heart. Look at verse 6. I've called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Now, notice the marginal reference on the word where it says, hear the right. Justice. Hear justice. Now here's David's prayer and every believer's prayer. Attend and give ear, O Lord, unto our prayer. Now, I don't know if we could say it this way, but one of the most important parts of prayer is to be heard. To be heard. To be heard by Almighty God. And it's a threefold cry of faith. for it's the sincere cry of the heart to hear the right, or to hear justice, to hear the just one, the righteous one. Hear my advocate, my redeemer. Let his wounds plead for me. Hear the rights of the Lord Jesus Christ as our substitute for our sin. Hear him. He's the one that is our intercessor. He's the one who makes mediation for us. He is our kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has the right to redeem. You remember Boaz and Ruth, that story. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the right one. We pray unto the Lord in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask to be heard because of him. The Lord Jesus Christ is the kinsman redeemer who has the right to redeem, like Boaz, who is able to redeem and who is willing to redeem. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our kinsman redeemer. David prayed, you remember in Psalm 143, in thy faithfulness and in thy righteousness, answer me. Answer me, O Lord. Hear the right, or hear the just one. And that's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we could say it this way, Lord, hear us in Christ. Through our mediator, bless us. That's the only way we can approach God, is through the just one, through the holy one, through our advocate, through our mediator. And then he says, verse 2, let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Now, who would you want to sentence you? We have the judges among men, don't we? Men in black robes that sit on the courts of men. And they pass out. Where do they pass out? They're going to sentence you. The criminal's going to get his sentence today. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. You see what he's saying there? Or in other words, let thy salvation come from the throne of God. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence, from the throne of God. You know, his throne is called a throne of mercy. That's why he says, come boldly to the throne of mercy. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal, just, and right. In other words, he's saying, Lord, save me in a just, holy way. Save me in such a way as you can be just and the justifier of the ungodly. Let my sentence, or my verdict, or my salvation come from his presence. Let my life be in thy hands. Lord, judge me and bless me in Christ. That's where I want to be blessed. That's where I want to be judged. From, let my sentence come from the presence of thy throne. Let thine eyes behold. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere. He knows everything through and through. His eyes behold the things that are just and right. He's going to justify every one for whom the Lord Jesus Christ in a right, just way. Now look, verse 3. Here's our confession. Verse 3, thou hast proved my heart. The Lord doesn't look on the outward countenance. The Lord looks upon the heart. Salvation is a heart work. Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast given me a new heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing but faith in Christ. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress against thee. Thou hast proved my heart. Now, I've got written down here Psalm 26. Turn over there. Psalm 26. Thou hast proved my heart. And he's saying here, as David says in Psalm 26, judge me, O Lord, verse 1, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my heart. My reins, my bowels, my heart, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. Thou hast proved me and found me to be faithful to the Lord. He visited me. He has visited his people in grace and mercy. He has tried us in Christ. And in Christ, there's no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's found nothing. Nothing in us to condemn. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Thou hast visited me in the depths of my sin and hast justified me in Christ. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing to condemn me. As we are blessed in the Lord Jesus Christ, no condemnation to those who are in him. Our sin and our iniquity has been forever put away. I love this scripture in Jeremiah 50 verse 20. You remember Jeremiah 50 verse 20? Don't turn, let me just read it to you. In those days, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. The sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. Remember, in Hebrews chapter 10, he said their sin and their iniquity, well, I remember no more at all. And my purpose now is to honor the Lord. My mouth shall confess what's in my heart. I purposed in my heart, and my mouth shall confess that Christ is all my salvation. To do contrary would be to transgress, wouldn't it? I purpose to honor God in my heart. As Paul said so many times, God forbid I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 4. Concerning the works of men, or concerning the works of the flesh, the sinful flesh, ours or others, concerning the works of the flesh, by thy word, the word of thy lips, I have kept, for thou hast kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Concerning the works of men are judged by what? By the word of the Lord. Concerning the works and the doing of men, and nothing but sin, nothing but flesh, man in his best state is altogether vanity. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But the word of the Lord has kept me, restrained me from going the way that seems right unto the flesh, the way of the destroyer and the violent man. He has taught us by the word of thy lips. That's what we need to hear. Turn over here to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Look at verse 9. Almost every verse in Psalm 119 is about the word and testimonies of the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, to teach me with thy statutes. With my lips have I declared the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as all riches. I will meditate in thy presence and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Almost every verse has a reference to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Concerning the works of the flesh, the sinful flesh, what does the word say about that? All flesh is grass. By the word of my lips, you've kept me from the destroyer. He's taught us by his word. He's kept us by his word. Now look at verse 5. Hold up my goings in thy path, that my footsteps don't slip. Don't slide. Hold my steps in thy paths, that my footsteps be not moved. Turn over here to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, we've seen this before. Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him. I've been young, now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth. His seed is blessed. Now, the Lord does hold us by his word, by his power, by his truth. Hold up my goings in your path, or your way, the way of the Lord, that my footsteps do not slide. Now, when he talks about the ungodly are not so. The ungodly are not so. Let me read this one to you. Psalm 35, verse 6 says this. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. And then in another Psalm, 73, when David said, when he saw their end, he said, surely thou didst set them, talking about the wicked, he did set them in slippery places, thou castest them down into destructions. So the ungodly, the Lord puts in slippery places. You remember in the book of Deuteronomy where it said, their foot shall slide in due time. But he holds us. He holds us in his pathways, in the way of salvation in Christ. And he gives us a solid rock. That's why we don't slide and slip. We're fastened to the Lord Jesus Christ. That solid rock. On Christ's solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. I have, verse 6, called upon thee. Now, you think about that. To call upon the name of the Lord in prayer and ask to be heard of the Lord. Lord, hear my prayer for Christ's sake. I have called upon thee because you'll hear. O God, incline thy ear unto me and hear my speech. Now, what a privilege God has given to us to pray unto the Lord. I shall call and he will hear. Because he's a living God, he can hear. Because he's the Almighty God, he will answer in his own due time. According to his own will. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall save. In due time, he'll hear our call and he will answer. He will answer. We're taught to pray, Lord, not what? Not my will, thy will be done. And then we're told to wait upon the Lord. And again I say, wait upon the Lord. Now look at verse 7 and 8. Show me thy marvelous loving kindness. Isn't that precious? Loving kindness. You know that word is used in the book of Psalms over and over. Turn over here to, you remember Psalm 51? You know that word loving kindness is used 23 times in the book of Psalms. Loving kindness. But I often think about this scripture here in regard to loving kindness. You remember Psalm 51, verse 1? Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. According to your loving kindness, Lord. That's what we appeal to. But he adds an extra word here in verse 7. Marvelous loving kindness. I think of another psalm. I think it's Psalm 118. Marvelous in the sight of the Lord is all his doings. It's a marvelous thing. His marvelous loving kindness. That God Almighty, think about this. That God Almighty would assume our humanity, born of a woman, born under the law, live a life of faithful obedience unto the law for us as our surety, as our substitute. And then upon Calvary's tree, take all of our sin to himself, our guilt, take the judgment and wrath of God, do our sin, and suffer in our stead. Now, if that's not marvelous, I don't know what is. And give us salvation. He takes all of our sin and he gives us his righteousness. That's a marvelous deal. That's his marvelous loving kindness. And then he adds this, verse 7, you saved by your right hand. Now, who's at the right hand of God? When he by himself purged our sin, he sat down on the right hand of God. He saves us with his marvelous loving kindness through the Lord Jesus Christ. Show me thy loving kindness, O thou that savest. He's the only one that can save. Salvation's of the Lord. By your right hand. And those who are saved by his right hand, they put their trust in thee. It doesn't matter who rises up against us. We trust him. Trust in the Lord at all times. You people, pour out your heart before him. He is our salvation. Now here's the good news of the gospel. He says, show me or reveal Christ to me. And then he says, save me. And then verse 8, he said, keep me. You see verse 8? Keep me and then hide me. Now, those are four precious truths, are they not? That marvelous loving kindness. It's the Lord's doing and it's marvelous in our eyes. Show me or reveal unto me your mercy in Christ Jesus. It's because of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Save me by thy right hand through the arm and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then keep me as the apple of the eye. Now, if you look that word apple up, it has to do with your pupil. Your pupil in your eye. And then he said, hide me. Hide me. Now, someone gave this homely illustration some years ago, and I think it's quite good. When he talks about the pupil of the eye, have you ever considered how God, in his marvelous creation, how he has set our eye in such a way in our body that it's protected? It's really protected. If you think about what the eye has and how the Lord has set the eye in our body. Think about this. This eye is surrounded and protected by what? All this bone. Surrounded by the bone. And the Lord has surrounded us with the strength of his grace. And the eye has a fountain of tears. Tear ducts, I guess they're called. And how the eye waters. If you get something in your eye, what happens? I mean, immediately it just starts wringing out water. Washing out that eye. You see how the Lord has made us so marvelously, wonderfully? The eye has a fountain of tears to cleanse it. And that is a picture of Christ cleansing us by his precious blood. And then the eye has an eyelid. It's kind of a door to the eye. You don't even think about this consciously, but if something heads toward your eye, I mean, you close, your eyelid closes. Why? To protect that. And God has kept us as the pupil of his eye. He's our protector. He's our protector. The eye has eyelids like a door or a curtain to close and protect it. And the eye has eyelashes to keep the dust away. Blink your eye, blink that dust away. And then the eye has the shade of the eyebrow, an eyebrow to keep the bright sunlight from burning and the sweat from running in. You see how he keeps us? And you can use that anatomy of the eye and use that. And it's a good scriptural illustration how God, as David says, so wonderfully and fearfully I'm made. Do you ever think about how God has protected that eye? It's amazing, isn't it? He has kept us as the pupil of his eye by his grace. And then he says, hide me. Hide me. Hide me. Show me. Save me. Keep me, and then hide me. What did we sing a moment ago? Hide me, oh my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past. The Lord Jesus Christ is our hiding place. He's our refuge in the storm, isn't he? We hide in him. He's our sure hiding place. And then he says, hide me. We go. He brings us, he takes us down on the farm here. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. He gives us a illustration of a mother hen with her baby chicks. And when the storm comes up, those baby chicks, where do they run? They don't run away from mama. They run right to mama. And she puts out those wings and she gathers those little baby chicks in and protects them. That's what the Lord does for us. You remember he used that illustration in Matthew 23. Oh, he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wing. And then he said, you would not. I'm not the problem. You're the problem. I would, but you would not. You would not. Now, verse 9 down through verse 14 are a list of enemies that come against us, that would consume us, apart from his grace, apart from his intercession. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about, that come against my soul, even our own sin within us. That's the deadly enemy, isn't it? There's a warfare that goes on within us. The flesh against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And then he talks about in verse 10, they are enclosed in their own fat, their own righteousness. With their mouth they speak proud, proud ungodly things. Who is the Lord that we should obey him? Verse 11, they compass us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth. You ever been out in a cow pasture and there's a bunch of cows out there, but also there's a bull out there in that field? You often hear that statement, you'll take the bull by the horns. That's not a good thing to do. Well, you get out there in that field and that bull down there, he starts bowing his eyes to the ground. And why is he doing that? He's got horns out there. And he's fixing to give you some trouble. And that's what the wicked do. They bow, their eyes are bowing down to the ground, ready to attack. And then verse 12, he talks about the lion. Satan is called a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. Like a lion that's greedy of his prey. As a young lion lurking in secret places. Verse 13, arise, O Lord. Now here's our help. Arise, O Lord. I can't defeat the devil. I'm no match for him, but the Lord can handle him. Arise, O Lord, and disappoint him. Cast him down and deliver my soul from the wicked by thy sword. The sword of the Lord. Oh, the sword of the Lord. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Verse 14, from men, by thy sword, from men, with the sword that's in your hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion. All they have is this life. They don't have any portion in Christ. All they have is what this life is. Flesh, sin, whose belly is their God. They are full of children. They leave the rest of their substance to their babes. Now, when God meets our foes face to face in a battle, in the conflict, we know who's going to win. We've seen that in the Revelation, haven't we? He delivered our soul. The enemy has been disappointed, and he delivered us by the sword of his word. You remember Revelation 19, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that it should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth them the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And then the sword is in his hand. You see that? Now, again, an earthly illustration. If you could have the sharpest, the finest, the strongest sword, and laying in the dust, laying on the ground, that sword is not going to defend anyone. But if a skillful soldier picks up that sword and puts it in his hand to wield it with skill and precision and strength, oh, now you're talking about something different now. The sword of the Lord is in his hand. His word goes forth with power because it's in the hand of Almighty God. Now, who can stand against the sword of the word of the Lord? No one can. His sword, his hand, none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou, O Lord, from men of the world? All they have is in this life is their portion. And what they have, God gave it to them. And whose belly thou? God's given them whatever they have. God's given it to them. They have children, but they leave everything in this life. They don't take anything with them. Not at all. Their portion in this life is their belly, their treasure, their children, their substance. The believer's portion, remember from last week, turn back to Psalm 16, look at verse 5. The believer's portion, Psalm 16, verse 5, the Lord is a portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are falling out unto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly, goodly heritage. The Lord is our portion. He's our portion now. He's our inheritance now and forever and ever and ever. As for me, verse 15, as for me, not every man can say this. Not every person can say this. But every believer can say, as for me, as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me, I will, by his grace, behold the face of the Lord Jesus Christ forever. The glory of God shines in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will behold him face to face and see him as he is and be like him. And I shall be satisfied. I'll be satisfied, and we are now. But when we awake with his likeness, that will be glory for me. Glory for me. We shall have a new resurrected body. Our bodies will sleep in the dust for a while. But when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, we raised up with a new body, like unto his glorious body, to enjoy him forever and ever and ever. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, that's satisfaction, isn't it? Satisfied with the Lord. Satisfied with the Lord now and forever. Forever and ever. You know, every Old Testament believer had the same hope that we have. Abraham, he looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. Our Lord said, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. Moses wrote about me. He said of Abraham, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. But Job wrote this. Job says the same thing that David says here. In Job 19, for I know my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Job was saying, I'm satisfied. As for me, I'll behold his face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied. Satisfied forever. God is well pleased and well satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has provided all things for us. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in the Lord Jesus Christ, being accepted in the Beloved. Isn't that a good verse? As for me, you just take that verse and stick it somewhere in the back of your mind and just let it ring and ring and ring and ring in your mind. I will behold thy face in perfect righteousness. Righteousness has been imputed freely by his grace. We have satisfaction of God's law and justice, and he's going to raise us up and make us just like himself forever and ever and ever.